This one, is it?
Another piece?
Yeah, the Mike Surprise.
What else is going on? Oh, another 5 minutes. You can win your tickets to the Wallace Cinemas. Catch up with Nancy in Oregon with our Right Wing Report. And as I said, you're causing another one. Look, I keep forgetting to do this, but the End of the World Watch, we were uncannily, scarily close to the mark when it came to Recession Watch back on December. So I'm hoping my track record is a bit wobbly. Hope I fall off the rails, but there is only 1,052 days to go to the end of the world, December 21, 2012. And, hang on, you hear that? There it is again. What is that noise? Ah, that's the sound of Labor voters switching to Liberals over this internet censorship law. What a debacle. Anyway, good prevailed in the end, I suppose. The open line is 822-3000, but you know what it does give you? Even though they've repealed the law, it's been quite an embarrassing sort of backdown at the 11th hour, which is commendable, but does that give you the sort of insight in terms of here's who would be sitting up for the next 4 years, this sort of draconian sort of stuff? Now, it's Dr. Craig Isherwood from the Citizen Electoral Council. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, Chef. How are you?
You doing well?
I'm very well. A bit hot over here, but it's all right.
You get that.
It's hot in the year.
It's summer. You know, we get... How quickly we forget? Everything in summer. Oh, my God. No, how hot is it?
Hot enough.
Now, headline thoughts. Craig, Tony Abbott's climate change.
Well, he's doing a very good job of changing the subject, which is what you'd expect. I mean, you have to go back to December last year, or a bit before that, I think, when he was elected by one vote to oust Malcolm Turnbull. Look, this was a revolt, particularly against the Liberal Party and the Labor Party on the policy of the ETS, and it was a revolt by the ordinary people. There was an article published in the Courier Mail in November blaming our organisation, the Citizens Electoral Council, for the thousands of emails, literally, that the members of the politicians were getting, federal members were getting.
Have you got that much time on your hands?
Oh, we didn't do it. That's the point. What we did do was catalyse over the last 2 years the effect, what we call a mass strike effect. It's where you give people, ordinary folk, mums and dads, the information so that they self-organise themselves to take on an issue, and it's what's happening right now in the United States with the whole anti-health care bill, but they mobilised, the population mobilised, and it freaked the hell out of the Liberal Party to the point that they said, we have to do something about this. So they reacted on that uprising, in a sense, from thousands upon thousands of people, and elected Tony Abbott. Now, Tony Abbott has smelt the wind, and he's coined the term Great Big Tax of Kevin Rudd, and we're in election year.
Catchy,
but we're in election year, and immediately you want to talk and catch the imagination of the people, you talk about taxes. So he's done that. He's changed the subject. And he's come out with a proposal, you know, for green jobs and 20 million trees and blah, 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 under the guise of a carrot approach and not a stick, like Kevin Rudd was using. Kevin Rudd was going to whack us with a big stick in Texas. He's come out with a carrot. If you're good boys and good girls and you cut your carbon emissions, we'll give you some money. And what doesn't get talked about typically is the fact that who cares about where the money comes from? It gets buried in budgets that no one can understand, and the whole thing will just fizzle out to nothing. Because, look, Kevin Rudd was dealt an enormous blow at the Copenhagen conference. He spent $1.5 million flying over 100, people from Australia from different places.
Was that the cost? $1.5 million?
$1.5 million.
Wow.
On a junket. You know, we had a bigger delegation than Great Britain. Great Britain had 71, we had something like 113.
Not bad.
Right, so he had this complete failure of policy on the ETS. Basically, you had countries like Brazil, India, China, and Russia say, we don't want a fixed carbon capping on our economies because that will destroy us from development. And they said, no, we're not going to go with any binding agreement. That's exactly what Kevin Rudd, under the orders of the Queen herself, out of Chogham, the week previous, said that the British Empire and its minions in the Commonwealth are going to go to Chogham, and we're going to get this binding agreement, which in effect, as was stated by the British, was going to have the effect of reducing the world's population.
Now, you've had Lord Monckton in town, and he's coming here this week, I think Thursday, playing at the Intercontinental. Has there been much of a vibe? What's going on?
Oh, yes. I mean, See, this mass strike effect that was that threw Malcolm Turnbull out, what you've had happen is the general population has now picked up on the fraud of this whole global warming issue, and you've got these global skeptics, so-called, like Monckton, coming out and daring to question the high priests of global warming. I mean, you can't, you know, this is like questioning Jesus Christ himself in terms of the issue. So he comes out here and is attacked left, right and centre by the media, but mum and dads all over the country, 1,000 turned up last night to the Sofitel here in Melbourne to see Monckton speak. These are ordinary mum and dads. Now we've got mum and dad climate sceptics around the country. And once you get to the point of mum and dads being recruited to some particular issue, as has happened in Sydney, as has happened in Newcastle, Brisbane, all around the country, then you've got a major shift in the political debate. And as far as we are concerned, as an organisation, we've done our job in pointing out to people that this thing is a complete fraud.
Do you think there's much of a difference, really, between the Liberal plan and the Labor one? The costing, it's going to cost billions of dollars, and how are they going to fund that? Either through greater taxation or cutting services. Is it any better than the Labor plan?
Well, neither is any good, and Tony Abbott doesn't have green credentials. I mean, this guy is the darling, or the former darling of John Howard, who wanted to shut down the entire development of the Darling Basin's food bowl. I mean, he came out supporting and praising Prince Philip. And I said many times in your program, you know, this is the guy that wanted to come back as a virus to play a role in population control. I mean, he plays up Prince Philip, this lunatic.
Now, I'm glad you brought up Prince Philip, because yesterday was the anniversary of another one of his clangers.
Oh, yeah?
Because it was the anniversary of when Britain brought in their gun control laws, similar to ours, and brought about by a similar tragedy. We had our Port Arthur, they had their Dunblane. And during the biff and the bash and the to and the fro of the gun control debate, it's not going exactly the same road as us. You had all the lobbyists and what have you, but ended up with the same result. But of course, Prince Philip couldn't help himself, and he said, let's say you grabbed the cricket bat, and you went into a school and battered a heap of kids, and this is, you know, when Dunblane is still fresh in the minds of people, and battered a heap of kids with a cricket bat, which you could very well do, is what he says. Would you go and ban cricket bats? And you think, well, that guy, he didn't get the tax gene, did he?
Yeah, he's a bit of an idiot, quite frankly. Well, we have no support for the idea of having a monarchy in this country anyway. We don't need a foreign power telling us what to do. But, I mean, look, this is a con job on behalf of Abbott. He supports these green policies. He supports, and in terms of the difference between ETS and what Tony Abbott is concerned about, there's no difference. Now, he had to win the support of the National Party. The National Party, as we know from the public comments, particularly by the likes of Barnaby Joyce, were dead against any sort of ETS. In fact, the National Party thinks that global warming is a complete fraud, and is global warming is a fraud. Climate change is happening. It's global cooling that we can actually demonstrate. But the fact is that he had a coalition that was in tatters. So they needed a policy that, you know, it wouldn't attack the great high priests of global warming, and particularly within the media, because the media is pretty much full of them. And this is what you come up with, because it's a load of garbage. How is it going to be funded? I don't know. You know, I just put a press release out today talking about the fraud of the entire, the median house price going up here in Australia.
Why is that a bad thing as a homeowner?
Well, it's not true. It's a problem. It's another one of these statistical manipulations. I was talking to a contact this afternoon who said, well, you know, in the top house brackets, you've had a collapse of between 30 and 50% of the upper home prices. Between the $600 to $1 million range, you've had a slight rise, but the biggest rise has been caused by the 135,000-odd people that have gone to the first homeowner scheme, which has inflated the house prices by more than the homeowner's grant itself. So you've got this enormous debt bubble, and you say, well, why did this debt bubble come about? Well, you have to go back to October 2008, and the banks in this country were in big trouble. They were exposed to $683 billion of debt with declining house prices, and a lot of their debt was or assets as they call it, were in the form of mortgages.
Mm.
So in jumps Kevin Rudd. He doesn't go and reorganize through bankruptcy reorganization the banking system and put a policy like we propose, like the Homeowners and Bank Protection Bill that calls for a bankruptcy reorganization of the banking system.
The bailout worked though, didn't it? Guarantee worked.
He hasn't worked, it's just postponed even worse. Clash. I mean, the debt loading of Australians is 100% of GDP. I mean, it's 1-to-1. That's insane. Back in the 90s.
Like a bad thing, Craig.
Well, I'm afraid it is, because some of that debt means that you become enslaved to the process, and of these homeowners, new homeowners, the first homeowners, 45% are in some form of mortgage stress.
Oh, look at that.
Mortgage stress.
Define stress. You know, if you are...
Over 60% of the income is used to fund the payment of a mortgage.
And that's, how many people are under mortgage stress, given that...
Of the 35,000 just in the last 12 months, 45% of them are in that category, or worse.
You know what, I call that a hard lesson learned in character building.
Well,
over your head.
My other...
You know, that's personal responsibility. You can't expect... you don't want a nanny state that stops people from making idiotic decisions. That's just a stupid decision.
This
you get up on your ass.
Well, that's true. You've got that aspect to it, but this is not simply the ordinary first person's responsibility. You've got a government promoting a policy of this $21,000 stimulus package.
Well, it worked.
It worked and get sucking people in, but it was to promote and prop up the debt bubble of the banks and the precarious position of the banks.
Right. Hey, Greg, well, I'll have to leave it there, but how can people find out more if they can?
We have a website, Jeff. It's www.cecaust.com.au, or if they want to give us a call, 1-800-636-432. There's more information on there, and people can follow through as they wish.
Terrific. And I've got details here in case you didn't grab that. Thank you, Craig. I'll catch you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
That's Craig Usuals from the CEC. Back up with some more of your calls on the open line. 822-3000.
G'day, Chief Conlon. The breakfast team is back on deck. So start your day with a smile.